Cherry Developer News, episode number 4 for February 8th, 2010. Coming up on today's show, Brent and I cover a bevy of fresh links from Grails to Rue to Java to Rails. And ever hear anyone resign over Haiku? All these stories are coming to you now on the Cherry Developer Cast. One last reminder, the 2010 Philly Emerging Tech Show is rapidly approaching. You can register today for the Early Bird Special and save some money. If you register before February 15th, you'll secure a spot from one of the best conferences in the region. For more information, visit phillyemergingtech.com. Philly ETE, April 8th and 9th, 2010. Don't miss it. And finally, head over to techcast.chariotsolutions.com and click on our PodTrack survey. Let us know what you think. On to the interview. I'm Ken Rempel.
And I'm Brent Baxter.
And we're here to bring you news that we're interested in as Java and open source developers. You can follow along by going to delicious.com/developernews/4. That's the bookmarks for the edition. Just quickly also, if you want to submit developer news, what you can do is you can use a Delicious tag called Dev News Ideas. We're still working this out, so bear with us. But if you post that to your own inbox, we can also search and take a look and see if people have posted that tag. And we're going to post as many of those as we can for each episode. So let's get started. Brent, why don't we go through some of the Grails news first, just because that's fun for us to do.
Okay.
Why don't you take the first one, the InfoQ one?
Sure thing. Yeah, I'm looking at an InfoQ posting. It's about the free ebook, which is always nice. Free is good. About the Getting Started with Grails. And the first edition was by Jason Rudolph. And I guess on this particular edition, the second edition, which was recently released, I'm looking for a date, but I don't see it. It looks like February 6th, so just a couple days ago. Scott Davis is also contributing to the ebook now as well. So as I said, it's free. If you care to read it as an ebook, you can also buy a printed version for looks like $22.95. But I was browsing through it last night, and it looks good. I mean, I think for someone, like I said, I mean, the title is right, Getting Started. It really is a good getting started guide. So it gives you a overview of everything that you would need to know to create a Grails application and get rolling. So I highly recommend that to anyone looking at Grails and thinking about Grails and wanting to know a little bit more. And hey, you can't beat the price, so it's all good.
Great. Also on here, we have Grails 1.3 plans announced. Someone found on Nabble a posting by Jeff Brown that mentioned that 1.2.1 is ongoing, but also 1.3 planning is in place. And, you know, kind of quoting here from the Grails release plans for Q1 2010 posting, it says, and this, I'm quoting Jeff here, Grails 1.3 is targeted to be released sometime around the end of March. And it says in here the big ticket items are Groovy 1.7 report support rather, and publishing Grails plugins to a Maven repo.
Yeah, actually, a little update on this since it was sent out to the list. 1.2.1 is actually available now.
Right.
And 1.3, I saw Graham Roche. He actually tweeted that he completed a plugin that allows you to publish other plugins to Maven. I'm sorry, I take it back. It's not the publishing, it's the resolving the dependencies in Maven. So I haven't had a chance to go try that yet, but so there's definitely, you know, forward motion on that whole Maven integration part, which, as you said, will be part of the 1.3 release.
Awesome. Okay. I'm going to switch over to some other Spring stuff here. There's a blog entry from actually 125 that I found very interesting. Spring 3.0 adds support for Ajax remoting using MVC and JSON. And if you go to that particular blog entry by Keith Donald, he goes into great detail. And I love the fact that he starts off by using jQuery.
Right.
So basically in Spring 2.5, you basically had to do your own Ajax remoting. So you could certainly use jQuery, but then on the server side, you'd have to take that, you know, JSON data or whatever and convert it with some sort of open source conversion tool. So what they're doing now is they're actually supporting a request body annotation. And so if you post using jQuery or whatever library, Dojo, jQuery, whatever, to create JSON, it intercepts the JSON and turns it into a form object for you.
Yeah, we're actually using this in our project. Uses the Jackson JSON converter.
Mm-hmm.
And it works well, and we are using jQuery on the client side as well. So it's similar to what they're describing here. I guess the only tip about the Jackson converter is that as long as you stick with Java primitive types, mm-hmm. it'll work great. If you stray off that path, it's going to bark at you a little bit. So, but yeah, absolutely. This works really well. It's very handy for RESTful URLs and getting JSON data.
Okay. You want to take one?
Sure. Actually, I'm going to jump back to the Groovy side of things because, I like that. But this was one, and this is something I've been sort of following on an email thread, but by Alex, and help me with the last name.
Tell me the title of the thing first.
It's a static Groovy. We're talking about Groovy.
Yeah. Hold on.
This is on Groovy Zone, and basically what's been happening is of course, anyone that knows Groovy knows that it's a dynamically typed language. And so some folks have been looking at actually creating something, and for lack of better names right now, they're calling it Groovy++. But basically providing a library that can be added to Groovy that allows you to statically type your objects or your variables. And they're claiming, you know, it'll improve the performance issues, I guess, mainly is the main complaint about dynamically typed languages. So anyway, this is, again, it's on Groovy Zone. And
yeah, I'm going to take a guess at the name. And actually, the title is Alex Chakman, T-K-A-C-H-M-A-N. Sorry for butchering your name if I got it wrong. On Static Groovy, the Inside Scoop. And actually, our friend Andres Almurey.
That's right.
Who is a TechCast previous alumni who does the Griffin project for Swing-based Groovy, interviewed him. So that's a very interesting one.
Yeah, and it's really nice. And you know, I take a look at it and read it. It's obviously early on, or after you read it, you'll realize that it's early on. But this looks pretty promising, and you know, maybe who knows? We'll see where it goes. You know, I guess Alex went to great lengths to ensure people he's not trying to fork Groovy or to, you know, supersede Groovy. That this is really intended to go in parallel with Groovy, and it looks like right now, at the very in the current implementation, you would use an at typed annotation. And that gives you the magic of Groovy++. So we'll see where it goes. It looks good.
Great. Okay. I'll take some springish stuff here. The first one is actually an interesting one. You know, JSF, or Java Server Faces, I think the 1.0, 1.x release was, you know, Sun took a stab at it and created a component-based user interface. And a lot of the warts with JSF 1.1 was how much you had to wire it together to get it to work. JSF 2.0 is actually much closer to a dependency-injected version of Webflow. I'm sorry, of JSF. And actually, it's interesting, Spring 3 will support that. So you can use JSF 2 kind of as the view layer with Spring 3 as your business object layer. So this is dmakariev.blogspot.com. The title of the article is Over the Edge, JSF 2.0 with Spring 3, Spring Security 3 on Google App Engine. So he actually is taking it saying, well, I can actually run a Spring secured app with Spring in the back end and JSF in the front end using Spring Security and wire it all up to run in your app engine. He even gives you a archetype on his own catalog. Very cool. I have yet to actually put an actual app in this, but I was able to actually download it and take a look. So it's on my short list of things to hack around with. So you might want to take a look at that.
Right.
Another Spring-based framework is Roo. We've talked about that a lot. A local Philly developer, Audrey Trout, who actually just got accepted as an ETE speaker for the last day of the conference, has a nice little blog post on – I love her blog spot sites, auditiindeed.blogspot.com. Very cool. She was actually at our Grails event back in November. And it's a post from January 26th, my first Spring Roo app 2 months later, getting started with Spring Roo. Has a lot of little things on the gotcha she ran into, the things she tried. And, you know, it's people are experimenting with and hacking around with Roo. There's two more Java links, and then we'll jump into the Rails stuff.
Okay.
And iPhone. We've got...
Which one?
Speed up your build box.
Oh, yeah.
the Schneid blog, I guess that's what it is, S-C-H-N-E-I-D-E, which I found there's a lot of interesting stuff on that particular site. They have four-part article series that just they've been working on with, you know, setting up your build processes. And, you know, kind of how to get that done with continuous integration and dealing with Hudson and things like that.
Right.
So that's an interesting article. Take a look at that. And then the last one, do you want to do the Java Rebel one? It's using JRebel with IntelliJ IDEA on OS X.
Right. And this is Matt Rabel.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, so he gives a little how-to, I guess, on setting up the JRebel with IntelliJ IDEA. And I have to be honest, I had heard of JRebel, but after I spent a little time looking at this, I was like, well, let me go check this thing out because this looks pretty cool. And I have to say, I may try to find a way. But anyway, if you're using IntelliJ, and so let me say, I guess what JRebel does is it actually allows you to do hot deploy into a container. And it does this, I guess, by monitoring your source code, and it looks for changes, and then it will, through some magic, which I don't understand yet.
Special class loading magic.
Right. It'll take those changes and hot deploy them into your container for you. And if you go to the JRebel website, they actually do support most of the popular Java EE or servlet containers that are available. And so what Matt has shown us is then if you're also using IntelliJ, there's a plugin for it and allows you to sort of automate that and pull it right into your IDE and part of your build process or your development process. So, yeah, check that out.
Awesome. Okay. Do you want to do some Rails?
Yeah. So, well, we talk about Groovy a lot, so let's talk about Rails to give it its fair play. And there's one here that jumped out at me that I'll start with is that the Ruby creator on InfoQ, there's a an interview with him. And boy, again, I don't
call him Mats.
Mats. There we go. Everyone in the Ruby world will know who it is. So, it's a video interview. And he's talking about his experience while creating Ruby and his sort of views on functional programming and languages in general. And I actually watched the interview, and it's pretty interesting. It's, you know, get inside the mind of Matt's a little bit and see what he was thinking about and what some of his ideas are or may be for Ruby as it rolls into the future. So that's a good one. And then we had one here, and I can't find it. It's about Rails 3. Oh, there it is. So there's Rails 3 is in beta. We are looking at rubyinside.com, Rails 3.0 pre-release available now, and how to install it.
Yes, and it just came out.
Yes, just. It's hot off the press. This looks like a little helpful guide on how to get it going with 3.0 if you want. And I think there's also another Ruby link in here. Ruby Inside. This is Rails 3.0, 36 links and resources to get you going. And this one actually looked pretty good. You know, I spent a little time looking at this, not knowing a lot about Ruby and Rails, just to get a feel for what's going on. So lots of, like it says, 36 links. So there's plenty of things here to work your way through and check it out. And sounds like the Rails community is moving forward with 3.0.
It looks like Jeremy McAnally, I think that's the way you say his name. He was at our Ruby East conference a couple of years ago. And he has actually a practical guide to setting up Rails 3 beta and a couple of other things as well. He was, I think he was the Humble Ruby guide. I'm going to get that wrong. But he was one of the kind of the original people that really were evangelizing Ruby and Rails
right.
early on. And a lot of people like his writing style. So shout out to him there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Looks like good stuff.
Absolutely.
All right. And then our looks like our last link today, I believe, is from the Big Nerd Ranch. We actually had them out last summer. They're a Mac Apple developer company, and they do a lot of training as well in, you know, Cocoa development and as well as iPhone development. And it looks like they've open sourced a persistence layer called BNR Persistence, which it says in the Big Nerd Ranch weblog. It says, I just open sourced the simple persistence layer for Cocoa and iPhone that uses Tokyo Cabinet. I have no idea what Tokyo Cabinet is.
You and I both.
Yeah. So. But anyway, if you're looking for a persistence layer, so it's a key valued store, kind
right.
of like a NoSQL store. Okay, cool. So basically, you install Tokyo Cabinet, and then they give a bunch of Objective-C code to use it. And he's using the MIT license, and right. Tokyo Cabinet is LGPL. So
yeah, and it looks like, and I've heard of Core Data. Like we said a moment ago, I haven't actually done any Objective-C or any programming, but
yeah.
I've heard of Core Data. So it looks like it's something that either enhances or overlays it or replaces it. So because the first sentence or second sentence says, if you're fresher with Core Data, you might find this useful.
Yeah. Yeah.
So for you folks out there that are looking for something else, there you go.
And it's out on GitHub for all you Git nuts.
Yeah. Hey, there is actually one more link in here. Well, it's a perfect one to end on.
Okay.
It's a Twitter post from Jonathan Schwartz.
Oh, yeah. I love this one. This one kicks rear.
Yeah. So basically, as everyone knows or should know by now, the Oracle Sun merger is in place, and there's been a lot of
– if not – it happened.
Yeah, right. So there you go. Sorry to break the news to you, but it happened. It's done. And so there's been a lot of speculation about Jonathan Schwartz, who was the CEO of Sun, what was going to happen. Well, now we know via his Twitter, in haiku, he resigned. So it's pretty funny.
Get your fingers out, right? So here we go. We're going to count it. It's financial crisis, 5. Stall too many customers, 7. CEO no more. 5.
There you go.
Technically a haiku.
There you go. It is. And it fits in the 140 characters, so he made it.
That's going to be a record. It is a haiku, and it fits within a Twitter post.
Yeah. So
that's too funny.
Anyway, I found that humorous and thought we'd throw it out there on the links.
All right. So that's it for the show today. If you want to follow us again, you can actually follow at TechCast for the TechCast news. You can follow at Brent Baxter for Brent and at K Rimple for myself. And if you want to go and see the feeds in Delicious or submit a news article, you can go and look at delicious.com/developer news. And then if you want to post a idea for a link, you can either Twitter it to us or you can go ahead and submit it to Dev News Ideas. Just create a tag, Dev News Ideas, in your Delicious, and we'll search for it before the show.
There you go.
So for the developer newscast, I'm Ken Rimple.
And I'm Brent Baxter.
And we'll see you next week.